perspective.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
Well, good morning and welcome to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And later today, we're going to podcast your show on the race website at usfdracing.org. That's United States Fire Department Racing. And of course, our team, Hurricane Motorsports, has teamed up with them to race and bring awareness and funds to our volunteer fire department programs. And of course, first responders, very important at every racetrack you go to. Lots to talk about today. We're going to talk some NASCAR. We're going to talk, first of all, getting the day started like you saw on our Facebook page. We're excited to have a driver on who's been on with us before and has had a great run so far this past year, and we'll talk with Dion Von Moltke. It's a good morning, Dion. You're welcome to the show, and you're here early, so I appreciate it. I know you've got lots going on because it was just announced this past week that you're going to be having an Audi in the 24-hour race to Daytona. Good morning, and welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be back on Full Throttle Racing. It's been almost a year now, so I'm glad to be back, and yeah, it's definitely very busy right now. Getting prepped. I mean, with Audi and Alex Trope Racing, and you know, Alex runs one of the best teams in the paddock. He's got more history than almost any other team, and the list of my co-drivers' history and winning races is long as well. So I'm just trying to, you know, get myself ready mentally and physically to hopefully perform as best I can at Daytona.
You know, it's funny you say mentally and physically, and we'll get into that. You have been on your Facebook page, and you're very, very vocal about a program you've been taking that's kind of bettering yourself as an athlete. Can you get into details on what that is? I hear some drivers and some professional sports athletes take it to this level, and you've done that, Dion.
Yeah, it's a very intensive week, probably actually the most intensive week of my life. We go to Viareggio, Italy, which is just outside of Pisa. Mm-hmm. And Ricky Taylor, who's a fellow Grand Am Rolex driver, is a friend of mine as well, spent a week in a place called Formula Medicine. And they work with, you know, Formula One drivers, DTM drivers, and the best drivers from around the world, as well as tennis players and golf as well. So really, you get the top athletes from around the world and a focus on driving, and you prepare yourself mentally and physically, and see, you know, every single thing you do there is a test. And they're compared to the best drivers in the world in everything you do. So there's never really any time off. It's a very intensive week for sure.
Pretty exhausting, but it was well worth it, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I went last year with my first year, and you know, you see what areas you need to improve on throughout the year, and you go back again and you see how you stand up this time and see where you improved, where you need to work on, what other drivers do better or what you do better. And, you know, it's there's no hiding any secrets there. Everything's out to be shown. And it's a really, really kind of enlightening week. And it's 13, 14-hour days for 7 days straight. And, you know, they wear you out physically and then hit you with mental and go back to physical and go back to mental. So it's a really fun week.
Well, how has that helped you as a driver? What do you think that's done for you? Is it going to be more of the split decisions that you have to make when there's an incident in front of you, or is it just a combination of things?
You know, one of the biggest things that they work on is something called mental economy. And, you know, for instance, on a reaction time test, one of the things they preach is if you take the average person versus a high-profile athlete, you know, the athlete might have slightly faster reaction time, but it won't be anything significant. What you see the difference is it requires less brain activity for the athlete to be able to perform the task.
Oh.
So the whole mental economy is being able to go out there and perform at your peak level, but also not being expensive mentally. So you have your heart rate down, you're calmer, you're more relaxed.
That's awesome.
Still very intense, still very kind of on top of your game. And it's kind of backwards to be calm and intense at the same time, but it's one of those balancing acts that you have to really perform. And there's some great tests where they actually put a band around our head and measure our alpha and beta waves while we take certain tests. And there's direct, you know, you'll feel relaxed, Yeah. But all of a sudden, your alpha wave, which is your intensity brain wave, is high up in the sky. You're like, oh, man. So it takes you a little while to figure out how to control and how to really deeply relax while you're, you know, performing some very difficult tasks.
Well, you know, I admire you so much at your young age. You're 22, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right, Dion?
Yeah, that's correct. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. And you were born in Texas. Now, you fly the South African flag because your parents are both from South Africa, correct?
Yeah, my parents are there. And actually, my parents are now living in Miami where I am, too. But the rest of my family, excepting one brother and one aunt, are all back in South Africa. And for me, it's, you know, as soon as I step off the plane in Johannesburg, it's home in my heart. It's you know, I do love living here in the U.S. It's a great country. But for me, it's definitely home in South Africa. There's something magical about the country.
Well, you know, you've started off racing in karts. Your dad gave you an opportunity, a choice between a gaming computer and a go-kart, and you obviously took the right decision, brother.
You know, I think that was a pretty easy decision for, you know, a 13-year-old boy at the time. I don't think anyone's going to turn down a go-kart. No. Although, you know, maybe throughout the years, my dad might have been regretting that decision. So hopefully it's coming back around the other way.
Well, Dion, let me ask you, what kind of racing did you grow up in? Or, I mean, obviously around here in America, but what kind of racing do they have, rather, in South Africa? What kind of, I mean, obviously, I know they have, like, the rallies and things like that, but what is big over there?
You know, actually, motorsports, you know, they used to host Formula One races.
Yeah.
They had A1 GP. They've had superbikes. Kyalami is my favorite circuit throughout the world, and it's, you know, world-renowned. And they have the local racing scene. They actually have the kind of the premier class right now is similar to a Continental Challenge series over here. So they're production-style cars that are kind of in between a full-on GT car, which you'll see that we are racing, and the production cars. So they've got Subarus, as they say it there, is Subarus. They've got S4s on the track. They've got BMWs on the track.
Wow.
And, you know, the race cars are more fundamental, and it really kind of shines on the driver talent. And I got to say, I mean, unfortunately, I wish more drivers were able to be known internationally for what they do back then, because there is a lot of talent racing back at home in South Africa. There are a lot of really, really good drivers. One of which that I was really lucky to be able to drive with for a few races, Henny Kroonvals, who's a 4- or 5-time national champion then, now racing in the SA production class. And, you know, the racing there is, you know, one of the things that I really wish and hope I could do going on in the future is kind of help grow the motorsports back home. Because once upon a time, it was massive. In the recent years, it dropped off a little bit. But, you know, it's got the potential to really produce driver talents on an international motorsport world that could really compete with the best of the best.
Well, this morning we're talking with Dion Von Moltke, and he's a driver from America, but with South Africa. You're driving with Alex Job Racing, and this year, a factory-assisted Audi R8 in the Rolex 24, which, like we just said this last week, Audi's year-end banquet, they announced it in Germany. Tell us about this car. I saw a picture of it, and sexy is the word. I mean, I'm jealous. You got to have fun in that sucker.
She is the prettiest looking car. She sounds the best. She's the nicest to drive. So I'm definitely really lucky to be able to be with a manufacturer with Audi. The R8 is, you know, it's actually, believe it or not, the same chassis that you get in your streetcar R8. And I think that just speaks volumes to how good the streetcar is really made. I mean, they are made, you know, initially the chassis is in the same, taken off the same production line where all the streetcars are made for the R8. And then taken to their motorsports facilities and made into the race car. But, you know, the same V10 engine that's in the back of the street car is in our car as well. And it's, you know, super reliable, really nice, responsive curves. You know, it really is a proper race car. And throughout the year, last year was Audi's first year in the Grand Am trim. And we did a lot of development work. And we always liked to, my teammate at the time, Dr. Jim Norman, always liked to say this quote. I loved it was, beginning of the year, she was the prettiest girl in prom, but she didn't really know how to dance. Well, now she knows how to dance properly. So we've developed her.
That's awesome.
Really good car. Audi's put a lot of development work into it, and you can see their dedication to the U.S. market, you know, coming to Sebring with the R18s without it being WC, and as well as all the commitments they've put into Daytona. It's been kind of really eye-opening and amazing to be part of it, and to be included in this is great. I mean, the teammates that I've got with Oliver Jarvis, Eduardo Montero, and Felipe Albuquerque, they world-class drivers, DTM guys, the R18 guys. So it'll be nice just to see my name alongside theirs, to be honest.
Oh, and you're already an incredible talent and such just an accomplished driver at your young age. Got second in the season finale at Lime Rock in one of these Audis that you were talking about. One last year. Now there's going to be four at the Rolex 24, including two by APR. How do you come and prepare for one of the biggest races, getting the racing season worldwide essentially started in Daytona for the Rolex 24? It's a huge race, and you see just across the board of different styles of drivers. You know you'll have your NASCAR element from the Cup side. You'll have you've seen other GT and World Formula drivers there. This has got to be a big just mind melt for you, but you've done it before. But what is it like, the anxiety getting up to that moment before you strap into this huge race?
You know, that really is the hardest task to do. And, you know, the competition is so great. There's so many cars with lineups full of world-class drivers. You know, the biggest thing that I try to do is, you know, just try to focus on myself, things that I can control. You know, right now I've came back from Italy, and they gave me a schedule for the next month. You know, the guys there are really, really great, and they really care about how we feel and what we want to do and what we want to accomplish. So, you know, right now I've got 11 workout sessions in a week. So usually it's close to 2 a days. You know, the last, you know, few days I've got off the plane, and 2 hours later I'd gotten changed and I was in the gym again, just kind of warming up and stretching. So a lot of it is physical preparation, just because the 24 hours is, you know, driving the car is physically demanding, but having to do it over and over and over again, you know, after very little sleep is tough. And mental, as well as on the simulator, I try to get in at least 2 or 3 stints around Daytona in the simulator every day, just trying to get laps and controlling everything I can. You know, I've got to focus in on my own body, on my own mind, and try to prepare myself as much as possible. And hopefully all the other, you know, as we say, B factors, things that we can't control, align properly. And, you know, it sounds really kind of basic and rudimentary, but it's really easy to kind of lose focus and look at the names across the board for Daytona and just be overwhelmed, per se. But, you know, you just keep focused. And, you know, the motivation for me is actually pretty easy. I mean, I've got such a good team with Alex Jobe and such good co-drivers that, you know, it's easy to motivate yourself because you've got an opportunity here to hopefully do something great.
Well, you already have got a great career going on, but you're still, correct me if I'm wrong, aren't you attending Florida International University still?
Yep, I am. I'm enjoying the winter break, as we say, from classes right now before I start up in spring again. But, you know, it's a juggling act for sure, but it's, you know, it's a really nice university. Hopefully, if you're on Pandora, I'm actually doing the voiceover for FIU's online ads right now, which is pretty cool. But yeah, so it's not, you know, in all honesty, I've got a great support group, great friends, and a great education there, which is nice to kind of back off when you're, you know, sometimes going through struggles or any time throughout the racing season. It's good to be able to have everything like that.
Dion, where are you spending Christmas this year?
You know, I'm keeping it low-key. We have kind of our home here, I guess, in Miami, so I'm spending it here. My brother actually gets in about an hour, which will be nice to have him here. We'll just kind of spend it in, you know, in all honesty, I'll be spending it in the gym and with family.
Well, I hope to talk to you after your win at the Rolex 24, and you're always such a gentleman when we've had you on before. We wish you the best of luck, and maybe again throughout the year. I don't want to wait another year if you allow us. We'd love to check in throughout the season, see how you're doing at some of these other racetracks, if you'll let us do that, Dion.
Absolutely. I'd actually love to be back on here sooner than a year later. And if we're able to win the Rolex 24, I will come on the show as much as possible, as much as you want me, as we can say.
Hey, you know what? And I'll gladly send you a check for a copy of the trophy. I love you. Hey, man, we wish
you to do that as well.
There you go. We wish you
probably organize your name on it.
Yeah, hey, there you go. Hey, your name would be cool on it, too. I'm all right with that. Dion, we wish you a blessed Christmas and a great Happy New Year. It sounds like it's going to be another busy one with you and the family and the racing and the school. And is there a girlfriend in the mix as well?
You know, unfortunately, there is no girlfriend. I think there's not much time for one, per se. And, you know, who knows what the future has, but that's, as for right now, it's one of the sacrifices you kind of have to make is, you know, the social life isn't as, you know, usual, as we say, for the most university college students. But, you know, to say I'm a race car driver, yeah, that's kind of an easy sacrifice.
I would say, but no. Yeah, Dion, your girlfriend's name is Audi R8 LMS. What is Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And I tell you, I can't wait to talk again. Dion Von Moltke. How about that? A good kid. It's hard to call him a racing driver at 22, but started karts at 15 years old. And look what he's done in a short amount of time. Just shows you young drivers that are starting to push out there and trying to get noticed. Well, it's never an opportunity. There's always, rather, an opportunity to be out there racing. So we go local now. Five Flag Speedway. How about it? We get to catch our breath after the Snowball Derby, which, once again, one of the best finishes I think I can, you know, and I say it every year, but wow, the last 11 laps of that race was awesome. Hey, Tim Bryant's with us, and good morning, Tim. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Kane. Pleasure to be back with you. And, you know, you're talking about young drivers. Wow. They certainly showed their hand at the 45th Annual Snowball Derby.
Well, let's talk about how Kyle Busch lost that race. Since we haven't had you on since the Derby, what did you think about those final 11 laps?
Well, you know, you alluded to it. I mean, each of the past 4 years, we keep wondering, how can we top that? But, you know, we've managed. And, of course, it's out of everyone's control except the racers once the green flag's in the air. But to think that a 300-lap super late model event could come down, you know, 2 years ago it was DJ Vanderlei and Chase Elliott. This year it was Kyle Busch and 16-year-old Eric Jones. Not a real household name in our area, but certainly a top short track driver. He's got some great credentials, and we're going to be hearing a lot more from him. But the side-by-side racing that those guys put on towards the end was just phenomenal.
Well, kudos to you and the whole staff over at Five Flags. Again, as we were there for the whole entire event, it was just incredible, and the magic around it, like we talk about. Go ahead, tickets, you can already get your reservations for next year, and I would strongly suggest it because it was officially a sellout. You sold the last 80 tickets or so in the last couple of days before it all started, and man, that's got to make you feel good as a promoter in these times.
Well, I'll tell you, we're very proud of the Snowball Derby, and we've got a great staff of people, and you know, the racers have embraced the event, as has the local race fans, and so Mother Nature, although she beat us up pretty bad during the 2012 regular season, she certainly came to our side for the Snowball Derby weekend. The weather was just gorgeous, and you're right. I mean, people have already been calling, wanting to know when they could get those tickets for the 46th annual next December.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about some of the schedules now. I you know, a lot of tracks we're going to try to end the show up. There's so many rumors about so many speedways around here, so we'll get it straight from the horse's mouth, as they say. Starting off, you've got your annual awards banquet. I know that's already coming up Saturday, January 12th, and that's where you just pretty much give the accolades that are due to an amazing season this year.
It closes the curtain on 2012. We'll honor our division champions. It's being held at the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds. Yeah. It's open to the public. We have a capacity of 300 people, and we'll probably fill that up. We'll be taking reservations when we come back to work starting January the 2nd.
You mean the Speedway's closed? Really?
Well, finally. And yeah, we still have a little work left undone over there, so we'll be in and out. But the office is closed, and if you call the Speedway, you just get a happy holiday message.
Let me ask you, I know we've talked off the air, and not to put you in the spot, what about drifting this year at the Speedway? I know they were talking about a couple events possibly coming up. Can you give us any more information? Are you planning on doing that? Are you taking a different turn? Not to, you know, put a play on words there.
Well, actually, we are planning on bringing drifting back 2013. It was an event. I think we had six of them this year, and it was just a great way to get a lot of those young people off the streets and open up our venue for them. And
they loved
it. We had a lot of fun doing it. It was something different. So we're going to be getting a schedule together. We're looking at January 19th actually as our opening event for 2013. So you know, we're looking forward to that. We had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, and I tell you what, which is cool. I love to go there and kind of have fun and do the announcing, and always have helmets. And if you guys ever want to see what it's like to be in the movies and go on a ride, and I think my favorite car that's out there when it comes to drifting has got to be that 1974 orange Corvette. What is it, the Great Pumpkin, they call it? That thing's wild.
You can smoke the rear tires for sure.
So, well, let's talk about some of the other, you know, you're going to take the time off obviously for the season, but you do already have a pretty big event, major, and we talked about it a little bit during Snowball, and it wasn't overshadowed by any means, because congratulations to the Speedway, the Napa Auto Parts NASCAR K&N Series race is coming Friday, April 12th. Tell us about this event, how the track got it, and will you have locals involved in it?
Well, I'll tell you, we're very excited overall about the 2013 season, mm-hmm. and the K&N race, the K&N series has made great strides for NASCAR.
Ooh, yeah.
Somewhat of a developmental series, and of course, it's gotten the attention of Hendrick Motorsports, Joe Gibbs Racing, all field in cars, you know, looking for their drivers that they can move up the ladder, and so we're really excited about the Napa 150. It's actually going to be a Saturday event.
Oh, Saturday,
it's,
gotcha.
On Friday, April the 12th, we'll be running our local divisions, and we'll come back on Saturday night, which is an open weekend on the coast here, and run the Napa 150. We're getting the complete schedule together. We'll have it in the coming weeks. But looking forward to that. We're taking ticket reservations as we speak. Same ticket type seating that we have for the Snowball Derby, and we're also taking camping reservations, of course, just $50 to camp for the weekend, and a two-day ticket to the NASCAR K&N Series event is $35. So we already have a long list of folks reserving their seats, and once again, we'll be doing that soon after the holidays.
What do you see for the local divisions this year at your track? I know, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you're still going to have the addition of the super trucks, or whatever we're going to call them. I know because they're going to run at Mobile, and it seems like there's lots of people. These trucks are starting to disappear in the coast. I know there's a lot of them down in mid to south Florida. Our team's still looking to try to get one before the beginning of the season. Is that something where these trucks will still possibly run a limited schedule at your track?
Well, we have our 2013 schedules ready to post.
And, okay.
They'll be coming
cool.
up in the coming days. We have five Pro Truck event scheduled at Five Flags Speedway, and of course they'll be back at Mobile as well. Some slight tweaking going on with the rules packages for the trucks and a couple other divisions. No major rule changes going on anywhere because you know what? All in all, the racing was awesome.
Oh yeah,
in 2012, both at Pensacola and Mobile. So we didn't see any need to reinvent any wheels. So, but we are looking forward to having the trucks back. We know a couple of guys. Brandon Tipton comes to mind, who'll be moving from the Bomber division into the truck division. So we think this has some potential to really grow.
Oh, I think it's a great class, and they're so fun to watch. And if you just talk to the fans, you just walk up and down those crowds, they love those things. I think there's just something about the look of them, and it's just something different we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, and speaking of different, of course, we're opening the 2013 season.
Yeah.
Of course, the ARCA Mobile 200 will go on at Mobile. A lot of excitement building towards that event.
Yep.
March 8th and 9th, and then 2 weeks after that, the regular season will open at Pensacola on Friday night, March 22nd, with the must-see Extreme Sprint Car Series, the world's fastest short track cars.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's a doubleheader. We'll be in Mobile on Saturday night with those same guys, and that Michigan-based group is chomping at the bit to get back to the Gulf Coast.
Boy, and again, you talk about seeing a wing sprint car. Love them on dirt. Grew up like that in Terre Haute, Indiana. Those are some of the classic, you know, Eldora, but, man, when you can see them on pavement and they stick like they do, they're hardly lifting, you can tell if they do lift, and just to see the vapor trail coming off the top of that wing, it's awesome.
It's breathtaking, and I tell you, you talk about some guys wanting to get ready. Todd Fayard, our Gulf Coast resident sprint car driver from Mississippi, is actually testing in Pensacola today, getting his car ready for March 22nd, 23rd weekend.
So drive by and take a listen, because you'll love it. Hey, I want to touch base. You know, you did mention the 2013 ARCA Mobile 200, March 7th through the 9th, actually on the 7th. This is pretty cool. A lot of the cars, well, all the cars and the haulers will be out at the Battleship, and this is going to be a huge community event, and this is neat because you'll be able to go up and see the haulers, meet the crews, see the race cars, and talk to the drivers. What a huge event. And that brings that huge kind of NASCAR feel, like, you know, like we haven't seen yet in this race. And that's big.
Yes, it is. And, you know, the ARCA teams really warmed up to Mobile last year. And, you know, the Tommy Prater and his group did a wonderful job putting that race on last year and are planning bigger and better things for it. So, you know, we see that as being one heck of a way to kick off 2013.
I know Tom Claxton, also a big friend of the show here, and has been a big friend to racing and actually got me into the radio show, has also had a good big part of that with the city. So that's great. Well, let's talk a little bit about about Mobile International Speedway while you got there. So people have been talking. We've tried to put some rumors down and rest. Rick Crawford is out of the equation. He's decided to move to another track and do something different for next year. So what we've talked about is the participation and the group. Pretty much, we have a skeleton crew that goes back and forth, which a lot of people don't know behind the scenes. You'll talk about the people and the staff, whether it be the people that run the safety truck or maybe some of the announcers or even what's in the tower. But big news that Ricky Brooks and his whole entire crew will be back at Mobile. I'm going to get Ricky on to talk a little bit about that. But what does that mean for the Speedway?
Well, I tell you, first off, you know, a kind of a new team is going to be in place this year. And, of course, a strong presence of Mobile-based people will be working at the Speedway. And I think that's important. At the same time, the cohesiveness that we've had the past few years with Pensacola and Mobile is the envy of tracks around this country, having two tracks, you know, this close together that can work so well together.
Right.
You know, Rick Crawford has brought some great energy to Mobile Speedway, and you know, given better opportunities, he's moved on, and so, you know, there's a new team coming in, and we're going to kind of take up where he left off in some respects, and certainly implement some new things in other respects. So, you know, all that said,
boy, that was nice,
you know,
and nice and vague. I like that.
Well, you know what, we're just terribly excited about 2013. You know, with the ARCA race kicking things off there at Mobile, the sprint car race, and in the coming weeks, we're going to be announcing some plans for the Lee Fields Memorial. I think that's going to get the town talking. So we're putting the finishing touches on that now. It's going to be a season-ending event, so you know, we're excited about that, and you know, we're going to have some new things. It's going to kind of encourage our Pensacola guys to come to Mobile, and vice versa. So when the schedule comes out, we'll be talking a little bit more about that as well. So I want to thank you for being a good forum for us to be able to get the word out to the local racing fraternity.
Well, that's what it's all about. I hope you and your family have a blessed Christmas. I know we've got to run. We've still got a couple other interviews, but I definitely wanted to just touch base with you one more time this year. We'll be heavily involved, obviously, next year with the race team, maybe doing some announcing if we can fit it in, and regardless, have you guys on the show because it's all about local racing. We do like to touch with some of the national stuff, but you know, my heart's into local racing, obviously, in our tracks, including both of the ones at Mobile, Five Flags, and you know, even the go-kart tracks around here. So
we are very blessed to have two racetracks that actually get some national attention. You know, with the quality of racing we have and the hospitality that the fans and drivers all show these out-of-towners when they come in.
That's right. Tim, Merry Christmas to you and your family. We'll definitely talk to you early into the next year.
Thank you, Kane. Have a happy holiday, and to all the race fans out there as well.
All right, there you go. Tim Bryant, again, he's going to be another busy man. How about it? Helping out with both tracks here. It's going to be exciting. Still to come, we've got an encore interview, and this was great. This was during the NASCAR season. Justin Lofton, obviously running the Camping World Truck Series. He had just lost the lead in points, but he has got some pretty cool stuff to talk about. We're going to talk to him next, and still got time at the end of the season talking about new tracks. Huntsville Speedway, Deep South Speedway. We'll talk about Sunny South, South Alabama, Montgomery Speedway, Mobile Dragway. All to continue. We're going to find out some of these schedules before the end of the show. Hang on. The show is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Again, thank you to Mobile International Speedway, Sunny South Raceway, and Tim Bryant over at Five Flag Speedway. Good folks helping out with the show. And again, I told you, Dustin Long standing by with NASCAR. He writes with USA.com and SI.com. Going to get the latest on what's happening this weekend and some of the penalties with Tony Stewart this last weekend. We'll get into that a little bit more. But I've been promising you a great interview with this young man. And I tell you, after just 8 weeks, there's been a change in his racing program. We're going to talk with second in points, was first, and he's going to get it back. I got faith in the man from the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Everybody, welcome Justin Lofton, the driver of the number 6 Chevrolet. Hey, Justin, I know you're busy, man. Thank you so much for taking time to come in on the show this morning.
Ah, no problem. I really enjoy it, and this is part of the job right here, is doing interviews and stuff.
Well, you know, things have changed for you. I want to kind of dive into the sponsorship. Just this week, it was announced that your sponsor, after just 8 weeks here in the season, CollegeComplete.com and JoinAPS.com, have decided to kind of pull out. What has that done for the team this week, preparing for Kansas? And obviously, you know, when you're a race team and you're on the level that you are, and everything that you've accomplished, that's got to be throwing a monkey wrench into things. How do you handle that as a driver, especially when you've got to be focused on what's coming up at the track?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's been really tough balancing it all out. You know, we've been together for, it was actually a year ago, last week in Kentucky, and so we had a lot of branding that we have done, a lot of different things for exposure that we're basically having to undo in basically a 5-day period of time. I mean,
wow.
We started a year ago, you know, doing just, everything from the pit sign that I look at going down pit road,
mm-hmm.
all the way to the hauler and everything in between. You know, it's definitely been a struggle getting everything switched over, but we're good, we're solid. We've got a new sponsor being announced later today.
Great.
We've actually got a cool program that we're debuting it with. There'll be a URL address that comes out. It's a Digigraph. It'll be a limited edition photo of the new truck.
Nice.
For this weekend in Iowa, and so we're doing a lot of different things to debut it that way. We're secure financially, so we're going all the way to Homestead and beyond. So
yeah.
We're looking forward to later this year and building, opening doors up for new partnerships and being able to be more flexible between different races we go to and starting to have a lot of fun with it. As you can tell, we've got a blue truck this weekend.
Yeah.
We're going to have an orange truck next weekend. So we're going to have some fun with it all.
Well, that's the thing, Justin. I mean, here you are. How old are you, Justin?
I'm 26.
At 26 years old, having the time of your life, you know, here you've already got a championship, you know, and I want you to hit under that a little bit, too. You and Eddie Sharp have been together for a while. You won the ARCA championship in 2009. So you guys have had a pretty good chemistry. What is it about Eddie that really keeps you fired up and motivated on this team?
You know, it's really tough, what doesn't he do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a really family knit shop. I mean, we're all really close here. I enjoy coming every day. Eddie keeps me very involved in what's going on day to day. I mean, growing up the way I did, growing up, family owned businesses and
yeah.
being a part of the day to day. When I was kind of excluded from that with the other two teams I was at, you didn't know where you stood exactly every day. And here I know I'm part of it. Shoot, just recently, we've moved all our vinyl stuff. We're going to move it all in-house to do my truck. So that's why, you know, we get to go back and have a lot of fun with the designs and stuff on the truck because I can literally walk into the other room and print something different out for him. So I think that is what really keeps me excited to go racing every day. I'm at the shop every day. I've put in probably Wednesday is probably over, pretty close to 40 hours in the last 3 days here at the race shop, helping the guys do everything. So,
well, that just shows the determination that you and the team have, second in the points only because of a falter. And to be honest, you're going to get back up there, and I've already picked you, and I think I'm swaying other folks, too, to take this and take this championship. Now, if you do take it to the level and you get the championship, has there been talks about you and Eddie Sharp possibly testing the waters in the Nationwide Series? Where do you want to go from here? Obviously to the top, but where do you go after this season?
You know, that's a lot of that, comes up to different opportunities, mm-hmm. partnership opportunities. When we got together last year, our goal was ultimately to end up in the Cup Series together with the ECR, RCR program we put together
yeah.
with Chevrolet. That was all in the talks of, we're not just going to stay truck racing. We're eventually going to move forward and go Nationwide racing.
Yeah.
Or go Cup racing, or both. And right now, the talks are full-time truck next year, part-time Nationwide.
Great.
But with as opportunities present themselves, we're ready to go Cup racing next year, at least on a part-time basis, maybe not a full-time, just to make sure we're competitive. But we have everything in place we need to be at that level. So it's really excited that way, and that's what's really cool is I know what next year could bring,
yeah.
and winning this championship would definitely help that along.
Is Justin Lofton living the dream?
You know, it's yeah, for sure. I'm definitely you know, it's definitely been a very you know, kind of tiring one, just on the fact of I've, you know, been all over the place, been running my off-road program for General Tire out in the Best in Desert series. We're, you know, we've had some success out there. We had a little bobble at the first race of the year, so hopefully Dad's going to pilot the car at the next race on Michigan weekend in Vegas to Reno, so hopefully we can get the General Tire Jimco buggy up front, get us back in the points. Then I'm in it October and last week in December, or first week in December, so that's filled in the six weeks of my off time.
Off time, you liar. There's no such thing as off time for Justin, is there?
No, there isn't. We have an off weekend coming up here at the end of July. I'm getting ready. My dad and I are going out. Best in Desert is putting on a special Jeep run, so we're going to go out there and you know, promote General Tire all throughout the state of Nevada, promote off-road racing, and you know, how much fun it can be and how much of a family sport it is. And so we're getting ready to go do that. Then I leave there, go get back in the truck. I got a tire test coming up at Michigan that Monday, and then leave Wednesday for Pocono. So it's you know, it's a crazy schedule. I think my next off weekend is then my next Friday, Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday off will be the second weekend of October.
Oh, my gosh. Well, like you said, Justin, living the dream. Let me ask you, can you walk us through that first win at Charlotte Motor Speedway? You and Brad Keselowski, he was right on your bumper. You did what every driver wants to do, but what a great win at Charlotte. Take us through those last moments in that race.
Man, that was an exciting race. It was one of those, you know, just the day when you show up, you kind of know.
Mm-hmm.
You have that feeling because no matter what you do, you can't screw up your truck. You can't do any wrong. And even when you do something wrong, like we blew a pit, you know, coming down the pit cycle, and it ended up working out for us. So it's a, you know, it's one of those very special days you treasure. And the last couple laps, when at the beginning of the race I was hurting on my restarts. And basically halfway through the race when I fell back and we did some pit strategy to kind of put us in a different position later on, I basically told myself I can't lose this race for these guys over a restart. So wow. I've got to figure this out. And throughout the race, as every restart, I learned more and more and more and to do what I needed to do to ultimately be able to beat Brad on that very last restart, mm-hmm. which put us up front. Which gave us the clean air, which kept them behind us. So it was very emotional. The last couple laps of the race, Eddie was actually telling me when I was coming to take the white flag, he was like, "All right, three to go." So I wouldn't even try. Just standing on the gap, trying not.
That's
to
a smart
it, so.
Man. And you probably looked over, you're like, "Oh hell, he's lying. There's one to go."
Yeah, I kind of looked up and I was like, "I don't really care. I'm just going to stand on the gas as hard as I can right now." And there was actually, I think, with like three or four to go, I had tears rolling down my eyes. I was running around the track at 175 miles an hour going, man, I hope this doesn't get taken away from me.
That's awesome.
It was really cool to be able to do it, to win, to beat Brad for it, because Brad was the one that took me to my very first truck race, and he was the one that actually got me interested in truck racing. So it was really cool, you know, to be able to race. I think, you know, in my eyes, one of the greatest truck drivers there are, even though you know, he doesn't get to do it very much, but he's definitely one of the greatest, and it was really cool.
Well, I know we've got you've got a great teammate, Kale Gale, home from Mobile, Alabama, and you guys have you guys been able to connect? And what has he been able to tell you? Do you guys share information? How's that relationship?
Yeah, it's a really good relationship, and you know, Kale hasn't had a lot of experience in the trucks, and he's going, you know, a lot of new tracks with the trucks.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of been me more telling, you know, giving him information on how to drive them and where to go and how they should feel. So it's actually worked out really well. I've done everything I could to, you know, get him up to speed, and it's been a lot of fun. You know, he was a guy that when I was sitting on my couch back in California wishing I was, you know, racing back east, he was one of the guys, you know, I was watching drive the RCR cars and stuff. So be able to say he's my teammate it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Well, I know you got a busy weekend. You've got a good-looking truck, brand-new sponsors. Congratulations. One more quick question. We have so many young drivers and young kids and families just getting involved in racing. Go-karting, huge along the Gulf Coast, dirt tracks and so forth. So I like to ask everyone that comes on who's been there and has taken it to the next level, do you have any good advice for these young drivers or maybe the families getting started into racing? And just, you know, what one piece of advice could you give them, Justin?
Shoot, there's not one. You know, it works different for everyone. But, you know, the biggest thing is hard work. And you know, you've got family is probably the most important thing in this sport. You know, it takes a huge support group. And you know, as much as I was a kid at one time and I didn't want to listen to my parents and they told me don't do this or don't do that. And then, you know, you see the repercussions years down the road. And man, I wish I would have listened to them. So, it's you know, your parents usually know best, and you know, hopefully the biggest thing is the parents got to stand behind their kids when they're doing this because it takes everyone. I've got two sisters, grandparents. I've got an uncle working in the shop. My uncle's driving my coach to Iowa right now, and so it takes a lot of family. And that's probably the most important thing is don't take them for granted.
Well, Justin, I know you don't take anything for granted. You live day by day, obviously, and you've got a great team set up, and we wish you the best of luck this weekend. And bring home that championship, and when you do, send us a picture and let us get you back on the air with us, if that's all right, Justin.
Yeah, for sure. Love to do it, and just let me know.
Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And I've got about like 6 minutes left, so I need at least 10 people to get on Facebook really quick and go to the USFD Racing website, okay? Not the website, but the Facebook, that is. United States Fire Department Racing. It's just like it. We're trying to get 1,000 likes before the end of the year, and it would be awesome if I can get them in the next 6 or 7 minutes just to say thanks to everybody. And that's our racing team that Hurricane Motorsports has teamed up with, and we're ready for next year. You know, we've got Rusty Powell Sr., he's going to be running one of the pro trucks, and it's great to hear Tim Bryant talking about the fact that they'll be racing. I wanted to say, what did he say, five or six races over there, which is going to be great, you know, because these trucks are something if you haven't seen them. But there's some other some people trying to figure out what exactly has been going on as far as with some of the racetracks. So I can tell you this right now, just talking with actually one of the announcers at Deep South Speedway on Facebook, this Butch, and, you know, there's been some things on the Facebook at Deep South Speedway talking about, hey, we're getting ready for the season. Now, this is the track that Casey Hines ran for the past couple of years. He's taking a year off at least from racing totally because he's got a daughter coming into this world in January. Happy birthday to her and a Merry Christmas to that family. So he won't even be touching a sprint car to race. So we'll see what happens there. Now, the biggest thing is talking with some of these guys over there, it looks like nothing's going on. You know, Casey has told us at least, you know, as of 2013, the schedule supposed to be coming out. This is according to the Facebook Deep South website, but so far as of 2 weeks ago, nobody's taken over lease. So all you drivers over there, we hope so, because that's such a great facility. And Butch was also kind of shocked, like, well, I haven't heard anything either about it. Huntsville Speedway currently working on their 2013 schedule as well. So if you're going to be traveling, and you know, a lot of the teams do that, well, you definitely want to give yourself a lot of time to get your schedule taken care of. Now, these guys, most of the tracks are saying by the first week or second week of January, like we heard from Tim Bryant, they are just a few days away from Mobile International Speedways and Five Flag Speedways, big announcements for this year as well. So obviously the ARCA Mobile 200 is going to be huge March 7th and 9th. And like we mentioned, it's so cool what they're doing this year, bringing the cars and the haulers and the drivers out to Battleship Parkway. And that's going to be March 7th. You get to meet everybody, get all those autographs. And I think it's going to be even better than what it was last year when our own homeboy who's in town this weekend, Cale Gale, actually took the win. So I'd like to see him be back in there. Montgomery Motor Speedway, the 2013 season opener. Hey, listen up. This is cool. March 23rd, they're going to have all the local divisions and $1,000 to win Demolition Derby. So Troy T-Rex Bartlett, if you're listening to the show this morning, let's get the demon back out and ready to go. You can call 334-262-6101 for all the information. And they promise to have the full season schedule up within, again, in the next couple of weeks. So you go to South Alabama Speedway, the 2013 schedule is already posted. The Rattler, obviously, obviously going to be a huge event, and I've never been out there, but it's a lot of fun. They've got their banquet coming up as well, but all the Rattler information's up there. You go to SouthAlabamaSpeedway.com. That's one way to go. And then if you haven't heard the rumors, some pretty cool stuff. You know, the Porch Creek Indians, who own the casinos up in Atmore, have purchased, this is true, the Atmore Dragway, and it has been sitting up there for a while. Well, what they've done is pouring a lot of money into this facility, going to make it something special. And our friend Gary, who runs Mobile Dragway, the rumors are in 2013, well, yeah, Mobile Dragway is still going to be open Friday, every Friday, from what I understand, for the grudge matches and also beyond that, but also to just do the test and tune. And then on Saturdays, Gary operates the Atmore Dragway. So we'll have him on the show early next year to talk some straight line speed to find out exactly what's happening. But for that, this is really going to be the last live show of the year. I'm going to take some time off. Unfortunately, planned on going to Indiana, but things didn't work out. I know Mom listens to the show. Love you, Mom. I'm going to put the Christmas presents in the mail today, so you get them by next Thursday. As simple as that. Also want to thank and take the time for all you fans that have been a big part of the racing community. And it's been great to talk with you guys on Facebook, and it's also been great to see you guys at the racetracks and continue as Hurricane Motorsports will be back. I know we'll have Troy T-Rex Bartlett back in the number 28, and I'm excited about next year's paint scheme for my number 5. We're doing a special cancer children's theme, and we're actually next month going to be heading over to the cancer ward for the kids, and we're going to have a special hand-painted handprints that we're going to put on the car. My wife Michelle's idea, so I love that. And we're looking forward to some great sponsors again on Hurricane Motorsports. Thank you, as always, to Advanced Auto Parts, Metro Glass of Mobile, obviously Cooper Tires, Highway 90. They're open today, so go in there and see Daniel and the boys, because they're probably just sitting around listening to the show. You know how they are. And also, like I said, Advanced Auto Parts. We've got Aaron's Rent-to-Own, Tropical Smoothie Cafe back on with us. So a lot of great sponsors going into next year. We appreciate you guys. And again, as of next year, we'll come back. We'll have a special great show, Bobby Allison's interview that we actually have done before. So I think you're going to dig listening to that again. So just have a blessed Christmas. I want to say happy birthday, Jesus. And we pray for your families all over the holidays. If you're traveling, just be safe. God bless. And we'll see you next year for sure. I'll be here. Will you?